This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Was the NHL draft one of our, it wasn't one of our options.
It was not.
On the poll, we can still talk about it if somebody wants to.
I mean, talk about those middle round guys, Cruz Lucius.
Absolutely. Hey.
We're all in on Cruz Lucius.
Before we start this, and if you want to suggest a topic of discussion, you are by all means welcome to do so. 919-860-5326. Jacob Slavin was a fourth-round pick. Brett Pesce was a third-round pick. Eric Cole, one of the top players in Carolina Hurricanes history, was either a third or a fourth, I think a fourth-round pick. So you can find him anywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely anywhere. Sebastian Aho was a second-round pick. High second-round pick, but a second-round pick. So it doesn't have to happen in the first round. You can find players all over the place. You know, Igor Shesterkin, Vezina Trophy winner, MVP Hart Trophy finalist, and most people think right behind Andrei Vasilevsky as the best goalie in the sport, was a third-round pick. Doesn't matter. If you hit it, you hit it.
Henrik Lundqvist was a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, look, it's not uncommon. Was it Pavel Datsyuk or Henrik Zetterberg for Detroit that was like a seventh-round pick?
I think it was Datsyuk.
Datsyuk, right? I mean, you just don't know, right? So I'm not slamming any of that.
Adam Fox is a third-round pick.
Yeah. Hey, he's good. He's good.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So you can find great players anywhere. The difference is that you don't really expect to find great players in the middle rounds. You expect to find great players in the first round, maybe, you know, early in the second round. So that's just my little comeback to that. But this is the time of the program where we invite listeners to decide what we're going to talk about. Dennis puts a poll up. Mm-hmm. Do we have production for this? Do I ask you every day?
We do. I have a little instrumental here.
Oh, very nice. All right, so what should we talk about at 1 o'clock today? Write-ins are welcome. And the ACC breakup was your winner at 47%. Baker Mayfield and the Panthers at 36%. Tiger at the Open Championship at 15%. Paulo Banchero versus Chet Holmgren at 2%. So basically one person said, yeah, let's talk about Paulo versus Chet. We're probably not going to get to that here. But we'll talk about the ACC, and David Teal is going to join us in about 15 minutes to talk about the air quotes demise of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Look, I don't think the league's dying yet. That doesn't mean the league is healthy, but there is one thing holding it together, and grant of rights matters, so it's important, if you care in having any of these discussions with friends, you know, oh, is this school going to leave? Is this school going to leave? Grant of rights probably keeps everybody in this league other than Notre Dame very happy. Not, well, I shouldn't say happy, but where they are. Notre Dame has less to lose with grant of rights. And I would point this out, Notre Dame probably has the deepest pockets when it comes to legally challenging grant of rights. So it is very possible that Notre Dame might one day decide, we want to leave for the Big Ten, and we are going to sue our way out, or threaten to sue and then negotiate their way out. Anybody else can negotiate their way out too. It's just probably a lot more expensive and a lot more challenging legally. So grant of rights is likely going to keep the ACC together for the foreseeable future, but we just don't know what the league is going to look like. And way back when the ACC expanded for the first time, early in the aughts, like when this first started becoming a discussion in 2003, the ACC was the leader in per-school payout for each member institute, you know, all of their member institutions by, I think, $1 million over the SEC. It was $9 million to $8 million. Well, those numbers do not even resemble each other today. The SEC is paying out over $50 million. The ACC is paying out in the $35 million range, mostly because the SEC's media deals and other factors matter. Attendance is, you know, kept, basically you keep that in-house, but bowl money is shared, playoff appearances, those, all of those things add up to the SEC having more money to pay out. And we're going to talk about this more with David Teal, but I could see the ACC ultimately ending up where they tried to avoid, you know, 20 years ago, with sort of a league that is more boutique, like the old Big East.
Yeah.
Which was a basketball league with football playing members. Now, everybody would play all sports in the ACC, but I could see it down the road looking like a basketball league with members that also play high-level football. I could see that. And that wouldn't be good for the league, because that's what killed the Big East. I had a conversation with Mike Trangise in 2002. He was the on the NCAA basketball selection committee, and he was assigned to Greenville, and that's where Duke was. So I think it was 2002. So we had a conversation about the future of the Big East, and then he said that we are in a difficult spot because we have so many members that have different priorities. They had members that didn't play football at the Division I level, like Villanova, right? No, they didn't play foot. They played Division I AA football at the time. They were good at 1AA, but they weren't playing high-level football. The ACC is potentially heading that way. Notre Dame will be the tipping point. The longer Notre Dame stays independent, the more the ACC is viable. If Notre Dame decides to join a league, and that league is the ACC, and I'm not saying that that's going to happen, then the ACC becomes very important. But it looks like it's trending the other way. All right, let me get to the to something else that we've talked about Baker and the Panthers a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger played a practice round at the Open Championship yesterday. He played today in like a celebration of champions, which was a four-hole event. He played with Rory McIlroy, Georgia Hall, who's a women's player on the LPGA Ladies European Tour and a major champion in the past. I think she won an Open Championship a few years ago. And Lee Trevino, who won two Open Championships, 71 and 72. That's very cool that they're doing this. Did you know that two-time Open champion Greg Norman, who is fronting the LIV golf tour, was told by the RNA, stay home.
Yeah, you're not invited.
They didn't not invite, they disinvited him.
Yeah.
Open champions are always welcome back. They have their own champions dinner.
Yeah.
Greg, it would be best if you stayed home. Look, I'm not lauding this. I'm not saying that this is a good thing. I'm not choosing sides here. But here's what it says to me. And I've been on this. This had been a thought of mine since this whole thing really began. The majors are in no way fans of what is happening with between LIV and the PGA Tour. They don't like LIV. They don't want to support LIV. There are certain things they can do legally and certain things they can't do legally. The RNA couldn't stop those players from playing. The USGA couldn't stop those players from playing if they were qualified. The other two organizations can, and I think will, limit LIV players' inclusion in those events. And I think the RNA is simply saying with this move, hey, Greg, stay away. They're forecasting the future. You know, enjoy it this year, but unless you're a past champion, we're going to make it hard for you to get in unless you're going to go through another qualifying route. The major championships are no fans. They're no fans because they know it's not good for the sport. It just isn't. It's not good to have, I don't even know if they're the best players anymore, but it's no good to have a splintering of the top level of the sport. It's not good. It didn't help. Remember CART and IndyCar? Mm-hmm. When they split, it destroyed that sport. Destroyed it. So I think the majors are not fans. That's what it says to me. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. David Teal, Richmond Times Dispatch, joins us now on the Adam Gold Show. I appreciate your time. Boy, did people ruin your vacation.
Here I was just off in Switzerland hiking a mountain, and all came broke loose. And of course, I had no idea.
Right.
But believe it or not, there is no cell service on a mountainside in Switzerland.
Unbelievable. I'm shocked that there's no in the Alps. All right. So what was I'm just curious. What was your initial reaction? Did you see the news? Like, were you checking Twitter, or you at Gap in you were in Switzerland, so is St. Moritz? Were you checking Twitter during a break, and you went, did Southern Cal and UCLA really leave for the Big Ten? Walk me through that.
Okay, so I get to a place where I think I have some Wi-Fi. And up pops this text from a Virginia radio host asking me to come on to talk USC, UCLA. And that's all it said. And I'm like, did they text the wrong number? Bruins, Trojans, that's about, I don't know the depth chart.
Right.
Beyond that. And then my wife, who had a SIM card, so her phone worked much better over in Europe, she gets on Twitter and she gives me the holy moly moment and says, no, honey, they're going to the Big Ten.
Amazing. It happened quickly. There was announced as speculation, and then the papers were signed, and I believe the Mayflower vans had pulled up in Los Angeles almost the same day. Should Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, should he have been, more proactive here? Is there any way for him to know? Should he have known what was happening in this regard?
Unless he still has some buddies in the Big Ten. Obviously, he's a former Big Ten AD at Northwestern now. Could somebody have tipped him off? I guess they could have. But, Adam, sometimes ADs are among the final few to learn about these things. They are determined at the presidential level and the commissioner level. Although clearly Martin Jarman, who has 919 ties there in the triangle and is now the AD at UCLA, he was front and center on this move.
David Teal is joining us, Richmond Times Dispatch, on the state of play in the ACC. So over the weekend, It was actually really all week, because I've been out for the last week. This happened a week ago Thursday, and everybody had basically been, the ACC has already been sold for parts. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, all gone. Carolina, Virginia, everybody's gone. Georgia Tech, everybody's in the SEC or the Big Ten. How vulnerable is the ACC in the short term? I'm not talking long term, because, you know, 5 years down the road, everything may look different. But in the short term, how vulnerable is the ACC?
Unless, Adam, the grant of rights is less than airtight and someone can find a loophole, an escape hatch, then I believe that short term, 5 years from today, I believe the ACC will be intact as we know it.
All the same schools. And obviously Notre Dame is an outlier, and we'll get to Notre Dame in a second with David Teal.
Yeah.
I just want to boil down grant of rights real quick, because we talk about it, and I'm not sure how much everybody really understands. Now, the grant of rights means that your television, your media rights deal, stays with the league. It is tied to the league. Is that just the money that you would have made within that league, or is it also, or does it include monies that you would earn if you left and make in the other league? Does that money transfer to the ACC?
My understanding is, Adam, it is the latter, that all money you would make in your new league from media rights would transfer to your former home, in this particular case, the ACC. And, oh, let's not forget that there's an exit fee involved here as well that is three times your distribution that you get from the league. The average distribution this past year was $36.1 million. You do the math, and you come up with $108 million right there, added on to the grant of rights over 14. Adam, we're talking, if you tried to leave today, you're talking well north of half a billion dollars.
Right. And because now there could be ways around that. You could certainly say to, let's just say, the Big Ten, you made a deal with the Big Ten. Carolina's going to go, we'll take nothing for the first 8 years of this deal until the ACC's contract is out. We'll defer payment. Would that help get around it, or am I just reaching?
I tend to think you're reaching.
Okay.
But when lawyers get involved, who knows?
Right. So we're probably talking about just a negotiated settlement, but either way, the price tag would be enormous to get out of the league, which is what I wanted to get to with the grant of rights. Now to the biggest domino, the biggest piece on the board is Notre Dame.
As always.
Right.
It always comes back to these cats.
And they love it that way.
Of course they do.
Is there an appeal to Notre Dame to save college football? Because I think this would be terribly damaging if we just had two major conferences in college football. We sort of have that now, but it would be on steroids in 5 years if the SEC and the Big Ten just ultimately swallowed whole, more of the top football properties. Is there an appeal to Notre Dame that, A, you can save the sport, B, look, money ain't your driving force anyway, because if that was the case, you wouldn't be an independent anymore. You'd already be in a league. And you align better. Your university aligns better with the ACC schools, private, smaller type deal. And you could be special here, as opposed to just being one of the crowd in the Big Ten.
If that's the case, and you make a very convincing argument, if that is indeed the case, Jack Swarbrick is one hell of a poker player.
Yeah.
Because he came out there at the ACC meetings. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
He's at Amelia Island. He has just walked out of a meeting with his ACC colleagues discussing league business. This is in mid-May, and he says, we are headed quickly toward a two solar system college athletics where there are two gravitational pulls, the SEC and the Big Ten, and everybody has to figure out how to align with them.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think that played when Jim Phillips read that quote?
Well, there must have been discussion about that in the meeting for him to come out and say that. He must have heard something in those meetings that that triggered that, or it was specifically discussed, and it might very well have been. I wonder, I mean, where would it end? Where would like a scheduling alliance to have more games with Oregon isn't going to matter, or to have more games with TCU, that stuff's not going to matter. So where does this end from an ACC standpoint?
I think right now the ACC is just going to have to continue to figure out, because it's done a heck of a job so far, it's going to have to continue to do more with less and accept the fact that it's never, I think they already have accepted the fact that they're never going to have Big Ten SEC money.
Right.
But they're just going to be considerably behind those folks and still figure out how to make it work. And let's not forget, the Big Ten's missed the college football playoff more often than the ACC.
Right.
And the Big Ten hasn't won a men's national basketball championship since Michigan State in when?
2000.
Yeah, in that range. Yeah. Not 99. That was Duke.
Right. No, it was Connecticut in 99. Michigan State in 2000 and Duke in 2001.
And I just think that is the ACC's niche here. And for now, you know, absent Notre Dame having the epiphany that you described,
right,
they have to settle for that.
Right. And I want people to understand that I believe that is a long shot to appeal.
Yeah.
Because college football, and really that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about anything else. College football is about money. It's not about anything else, because if the power brokers thought about the overall health of the sport over money, none of this would have happened. Because
correct,
it's just not, it's not good to ultimately concentrate power in, let's just say the two major conferences end up at 20 schools each. In 40 schools. And oh, by the way, somebody who thinks they're good isn't going to be happy when they go 4-8.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right,
somebody's got to lose.
Be careful what you wish for going to the SEC.
and honestly, I think if I'm UCLA in football, yeah.
Yeah.
We've stopped winning. Not that they won a lot in the Pac-12 anyway. But it's going to be that much more difficult. Like, I can't wait. I know Steve Sarkisian has rebuilt Texas, apparently. I can't wait for them to get a dose of reality when they play in the SEC every Saturday.
Yeah, good luck to Arch Manning, right?
yes, I've already discussed Arch Manning with some people who's good, but he happens to have the last name Manning, which certainly matters. All right, and you, by the way, your piece in the Richmond Times-Dispatch points out very well something you just alluded to, that, look, the ACC has, for the last 15 years, been third to the Big Ten and the SEC in terms of payout, and they've managed to do okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ACC can suck it up and accept that they're going to be paying out maybe half of what is paid out by the SEC and the Big Ten, and I think they would be lucky to get to half, they can suck it up and just deal with, say, $40 million to $45 million annually per school, then everybody will just get by on only paying out $45 million per school. 20 years ago, it was $9 million, David.
Yeah. No, it's remarkable how much ACC revenue has increased, but yet during that time, the ACC has continued to fall exponentially behind the two power brokers.
Let me ask you one more thing before we let you go, David Teal. And we could probably talk about this for another 20 minutes, but I have one more question. How much has ESPN and Fox influenced these decisions over the last couple of summers?
I think significantly, Adam, and I don't mean to come across as Pollyannish here, but I thought the tweet from Fox's college football account was out of bounds.
Yeah.
Where it basically said, if the Big Ten's goal is to expand to 20 teams, who are the best candidates? And then displayed 12 helmets from other conferences. It was essentially a major television sports network calling for the killing off of several Power Five conferences. It was in remarkably bad taste, in my opinion. And anyone who doesn't believe that Hollywood-based Fox didn't have a role in Hollywood-based USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten is delusional.
Yeah, I agree. That was very curious to see. David Teal, I appreciate your time, man. Go back and climb another mountain.
See you in Charlotte, brother.
You got it. And it's next week. Oh, my gosh, is that going to be fun. David Teal from the Richmond Times-Dispatch here on the Adam Gold Show. We have halftime festivities. Then we will place our bets.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, sir.
A few things to get to. So I was reading this earlier today about how Roger Goodell had an interview with CNBC on Friday last week, and he was asked about NFL Sunday Ticket. And he said that this coming fall, they will reveal who the new platform will be. It's not going to be DirecTV anymore after this upcoming season, but he did indicate that it will be on a streaming platform, but the announcement will come this fall. A lot of people are leaning that potentially Apple might be the one, because here's the reason why. Some people say, well, Disney/ESPN makes sense because you already have a deal with them. Amazon makes sense because you already have a deal with them. But if you want to diversify and spread yourself on as many platforms as possible, then Apple makes sense.
Apple makes great sense. That's what, you know, what, week and a half ago we had John Arand, and I asked him if the MLS deal was sort of a trial balloon for Apple. I mean, I wasn't specifically talking about DirecTV or the Sunday Ticket, but if you get that, I mean, it's certain there are going to be a lot. Not as many people as you think have the Sunday Ticket.
Yeah, not many do, because not many people have DirecTV.
Well, it's that, but it's also limited.
Yeah.
Okay, I had DirecTV for a while, and I didn't have the Sunday Ticket because I was not interested in the Sunday Ticket, and I'm still not. It does nothing for me. Like, I have to watch the Panthers. Sometimes I don't want to, but we have to watch the Panthers.
I think a lot of fans feel that way,
too. And I am willing to watch the national games other than the Panthers when they are available and we get, you know, the late afternoon game on Sunday is usually the best game on Sunday. And you've got Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night, whatever. You have plenty of options, plenty of games to watch. But it's also has been limited by contract to about 10% of the people who can get it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've set it up that way. That was in the original contract to protect affiliates. They set it up where only a small percentage. I think that'll probably go away.
Yeah.
But I don't think necessarily that you'll suddenly see 40 million people have Sunday Ticket.
It just depends on what platform they put it on. I think it's really, because if they put it on ESPN, so it lives on ESPN Plus, if you have to pay like an extra $5 a month to get Ticket.
It'll be more.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it'll
be
a separate fee for Sunday Ticket.
Sure.
Promise.
But. Well, I already have ESPN Plus. I can watch all the out-of-market games.
Right.
Okay, sure.
I do too, but I think it'll jack the price up more than $5 a month.
It very well could. All right, NBA League Pass subscriptions. Looks like they might be available with NBA 2K23. So I was reading this earlier today as well. So this past year, a year-long subscription up front for NBA League Pass, $199. So mm-hmm. $200. Now, with the upcoming version of NBA 2K, 2K23, there actually have five different editions of the game. You get the standard edition, you can get the WNBA edition, the Michael Jordan edition, the Digital Deluxe edition, and the Championship edition. Now, the Championship edition is expensive. It's $150, but it gives you a year-long subscription to NBA League Pass.
So you can watch games through your Xbox.
So, well, what you can already do anyway if you have the app. But here's the thing. If you're an NBA League Pass subscriber and you want to get it, well, I can get it at a basically a discounted rate, and I can get a video game on top of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so again, it's not something necessarily that's new. You know, we've seen, you know, different mediums partner up with each other in order to increase subscriptions, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, was it MLB TV was with T-Mobile? You know, hey, if you have T-Mobile, it's free. So there's different things along those lines. Like you mentioned, NFL, you know, DirecTV and Sunday Ticket. But I find this kind of interesting. You get a whole year of NBA League Pass if you buy these, you know, the Champions Edition of this game.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
As a parent of a child who has fallen in love with the NBA completely, head over heels. Yeah, this is where it's going.
Real quick note, Thor Love and Thunder opened with $302 million worldwide in its opening weekend.
That sounds good.
It's very, very good. And I have a question for you, sir.
Sure.
I got into a little bit of a debate, a fun debate with my girlfriend over the weekend. So she gets a farm.
I'm not settling something.
No, you're not settling something.
Okay.
It's a curious topic here. So you might. So she gets a farm box from the Durham Farmers Market every weekend. And in there was a melon. There's a cantaloupe.
Right.
So she cut it up. She tried it. She's like, it really wasn't that good. I was like, well, you had it room temperature.
You
got to have it cold.
Yes.
Got to have it cold. She's like, no. Like, it's apples, grapes are better when they're room temp. Like, no. Like, you got to have these cold.
First of all fruit better cold. The only fruit that's not better
banana.
Cold is a banana.
Yeah.
You and I are on the same page here. Yeah. Otherwise, all fruits are better cold. Melons especially.
Yes.
Better cold. I mean, it's night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Take the melon. Put it in the refrigerator, come back in about 6 hours.
Yeah, give it a day. Yeah. That's what I like to say.
Watermelon, so much better cold than room temperature. Like, almost a waste of time, room temperature.
Mm-hmm. I agree. She also was saying she also prefers apples, stuff like that, at room temperature as well. I'm like, I got to have
cold.
Them cold.
Cold. I am very particular about apples. There are certain apples I would not give the time of day.
Likewise.
Red Delicious, worst names.
Get
awful.
Out of here.
Throw it away.
That's a lie.
Macintosh apple, throw it away. Don't even give
talking
it to me.
Computers or
No. A Macintosh app. I want no part of it.
Okay.
No part of it. I need really crisp. I need tart.
Okay.
Yes. I need a little snap to it.
Snap to it.
Oh, and a little snap to the apple.
Okay. Well, she's probably going to yell at me and tell me I'm wrong. Just
no,
to let you know.
You're not. Stand up for yourself.
Oh, no, I am. I know. I'm going to eat it cold.
Stand up for yourself. You are correct.
Well, her thing was just like, you know, refrigerators, you know, basically weren't even around over 100 years ago.
And they hated melons as a result.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I know this for a fact.
You know this for a fact.
Made it up.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Hayes Permar playing the role of William H. Macy. You ever seen the movie The Cooler?
I've heard of it. I can't say I've watched it.
Really good movie. William H. Macy is a guy employed by a casino because he is bad luck.
Okay.
Not to the casino, but to those people gambling. They sit him next to somebody and immediately their luck goes cold.
Ah.
The cooler. Hayes Permar acted as the cooler, apparently, this past week. We did not earn money in Place Your Bets. We lost money.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis took a bath.
Yeah.
Just absolutely unfortunate. We should try to make up for it, shall we?
Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah.
Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you one.
Oh, did Hayes list his daily? Tuesday he lost 300. Wednesday he made 77.
Yep.
Okay, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
We were down probably 300 for the week, which is really not that bad. And there's still a pending wager with Sam Darnold as a Week One starter at plus 200. All right, Dennis Cox. We won't go into.
I was down 1,200.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, all right, you start.
Awful. Goodness. All right, you were talking earlier with Will Brinson. Mets, Atlanta later on today. Max Scherzer on the mound. I say Max Scherzer records more than 18 outs, so he pitches more than six innings.
Okay.
Plus 135.
More than 18 outs means he has to get an out in the seventh, too.
Yep.
Okay.
So if he goes six and a third.
Done.
At
plus 135?
Yeah.
All right. First start in, 2 months almost?
He's had a couple of rehab starts.
Yeah, but as in the big leagues. So Mets have actually been okay without Jacob DeGrom has not thrown an inning yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Scherzer made, I believe, 9 starts?
Something like
that. Before getting hurt. And has not pitched since mid-May or something like that. All right, I'll start with the Mets and the Braves as well.
Okay.
Austin Riley hits a home run tonight. Plus 375.
All right.
I think Riley leads the Braves in home runs.
Everyone's stealing my home run train.
Yeah.
Everyone's jumping on it.
Yeah, Austin Riley, home run, plus 375. I don't have quite the faith in Max Scherzer tonight than you do, as you do. So it'll be good for the Mets, obviously, if Scherzer can have a good outing. Mets their offense has been sporadic. So they got beat by the Marlins 2-0 at home last night. And they just have not. They scored 10 runs in the first game of that series and didn't really score much after that. All right, you're up.
All right. Euro Women's Tournament taking place. England is playing Norway. Give me England minus a goal and a half against Norway. Winning minus a goal and a half at plus 120.
Really? So minus a goal and a half. Only made it plus 120?
They're heavy favorites.
God, Norway's got some talent.
Oh, we breaking down talent?
Former major power in the sport, in women's soccer.
Norway's a plus 550 on the money line.
I don't know, man. You could be right. England's loaded. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my next pick will be tomorrow morning, a one-day international cricket. Between England and India. Hey, I'm one for one.
I know.
So I'm not going to predict the outcome.
I don't want to hear about a lacrosse bet.
These are both minus money. England and India are both minus money.
Of course they are.
So we'll take Rohit Sharma.
Can we do a draw?
To be the top Indian batsman at plus 285.
I have no idea what that means.
Means he will score the most runs. He will provide the most runs. Before being put out.
Okay.
All right. Rohit Sharma plus 285.
All right. I'm going to go, let's see, Magic and Thunder play today.
I'm a big Rohit Sharma fan, by the way.
I'm sure.
I have a Brian Lara throwback jersey.
Let's say you have a poster of him on your wall?
No.
You should. All right. Magic and Thunder play each other in the Summer League.
Yeah.
Give me Banchero and Chet Holmgren, each with 20-plus points at plus 210.
Oh, you were able to find prop bets?
Yep.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to show me where you got those because I couldn't find it. I just don't want to bet a summer league game just straight up. So I'm going to give you a futures bet at the Open Championship today.
Okay.
And every day for the next 3 days anyway, I will provide major golf bets for you to peruse. Give me Sam Burns at plus 4,000 to win the Open Championship.
All right.
Sam Burns plus 4,000.
All right.
To win at the Old Course. Tiger Woods is like plus... He's also in the 4,000 range. I can't wait till we see the prop bets. What is Woods to miss the cut or make the cut? I think he makes the cut. But man, just playing the weekend would be absolutely tremendous.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.